the Chai FM Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
Indeed, at 8:36 we say good morning to David Harris from the Clarion Project. David is the Editor-in-Chief. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Looking forward to a wonderful day of test cricket.
Well, good luck for that. David, let's just talk about this foiled plane attack in Sydney. What are the details behind that?
A series of raids, 5 addresses across Sydney over the weekend, 4 people still being held. They went before a magistrate who extended their time under lock and key by a week. As we understand it right now, there was a plot. It originated in Syria, we think, but from ISIS, to spread a gas through an aircraft. It would have been an Australian flight heading to somewhere, an unnamed destination in the Middle East. Apparently, among the things seized was a sausage maker and a mincing machine. And I think the idea was that the gas was going to be brought on board the aircraft within, I don't know if it would have been sausage casing, and then you putting that through the mincer and spreading that through the aircraft. But that was the idea. It was in advanced stages, we believe. This has taken Australia by shock and by storm. It's led to statements from a variety of government ministers, including the Prime Minister Turnbull, and also senior members of the security apparatus from Australia. It's something they're taking very seriously. So obviously security has been upped throughout the country, particularly at airports, fairly lengthy delays this Monday morning being reported, particularly, I believe, in Melbourne.
Is it connected to ISIS?
That's the assumption at this stage. ISIS out of Syria seems to, and again, this is all theory and hearsay right now and a bit of leaking. ISIS in Syria supposedly can't manage to get hold of 4 Australian nationals of Lebanese origin, and these are the 4 people who we believe are in custody. We also think they are 2 fathers and their sons.
Gosh, all right. Well, let's see. Why are Australians so shocked? It's not the first terror attack that's been thwarted.
That's a very good point. I mean, it's the 13th credible attack or credible attack that's been foiled by the Australian security services since, I think, 2014. I think just the fact that an aircraft is still the ultimate goal, the ultimate also terrorist weapon, I think that's the one that's hit a raw nerve. If you're attacking, as has happened in Sydney, a specific location, a cafe and so on, that's one thing. But I still think that when it comes to aircraft, or if ever it were to happen on board, say, a ferry, the fact that there is nowhere that you can escape to, the fact that death is 99.9% guaranteed, I think that's what sends greater shivers down people's spines. And if you go back through the history of terrorism to the late 60s and early 70s, the ultimate goal of the terrorist was to hijack aircraft and in some cases blow them up. And I think that just the area of air travel has that added sense of scare factor.
I find it nothing short of miraculous that they were able to thwart this.
Absolutely. And we only hear the tip of the iceberg. And you've heard me on this program numerous times saying that certain security services, particularly in northwestern Europe, are not particularly organized. What I don't always say, and I think really should be said and stressed on an occasion like this, is that the public has absolutely no idea, and thankfully so, of the amount of times that would be attacks based on ISIS, on Al-Qaeda, on individuals maybe operating on their own, if you believe such a thing exists, that there are a myriad of these attacks that are foiled on an annual basis, and we have to be extremely thankful and grateful to security services the world over for this.
David, staying with ISIS, I actually saw a story this morning that more than 150 jihadists have been stripped of their UK passports. Now, a lot of these jihadists, now that the coalition forces have, you know, retaken Raqqa and they seem to be getting on top of the battle, the physical battles against ISIS, a lot of these jihadists stroke terrorists are wanting to leave Raqqa and return to their countries of origin, be that the UK, be that Turkey, be that, you know, anywhere in Europe. And these governments are very, very worried about it. What would you say
Absolutely.
To them?
Clearly it's cause for concern. The 150 people are a tip in the British iceberg. In the UK, you're talking about 3,000 people who've been identified as jihadists. In other words, guys and women who've gone out and fought or are prepared to go out and fight, and another 20-odd thousand people who are identified as Islamists but with violent tendencies. So the 150 people being stripped of their nationhood is fantastic. Contrast that to the Canadian situation, where Prime Minister Trudeau has bent over backwards to prevent that type of thing from happening. So yeah, kudos to the British government, but it is the tip of the iceberg. I can tell you that there was a meeting over the weekend of security ministers and officials from six nations, notably Australia, since we were just talking about them, but Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia, and Brunei, I think that's the six, they all met in Indonesia on exactly this problem. They are petrified in that part of the world, it's not just in Europe, about returning jihadis. There is a very clear threat. Look at what's happening in Marawi, a town in southern Philippines, 600 people already having been killed there by ISIS, which has staged a takeover. And I think that the Europeans are in a much better situation than a country like the Philippines. You think about it, it's, what is it, 7,000 or 17,000 islands. How do you protect a country like that? There isn't the same infrastructure. There isn't the same level of cooperation. The public are less, shall we say, informed, maybe less educated on these things, and therefore less prepared, maybe, or less aware of their abilities to cooperate with security. So the situation in Europe ain't as bad as in other places, but that doesn't mean it's not incredibly serious. And what you've seen in Paris and in Brussels and in London and elsewhere across Germany and in Holland, that's just the tip of the iceberg, and I remain convinced we will see many more attacks from jihadis returning to their countries of origin. And that's why stripping people of their nationality, making sure they're not allowed into your country, extraditing them, is so important. But just one more point, and I know my answer is incredibly long, there are legal issues at play here. For a country like Britain, you cannot necessarily automatically throw somebody out of your country. Take the case of Abu Hamza, who it took years to send him back to Jordan, and one of the main reasons was there is a fear that in international law you are not allowed to send somebody to a country where you believe they will be tortured. And that is one of the major problems, that if you take these people and say, okay, we're going to send them back to Pakistan or wherever it is, there is no guarantee on that front. It sounds ridiculous. These people deserve, in my opinion, to be tortured. They deserve to be, you know, I mean, there are many people who would say that they deserve capital punishment. But as the Australians, the Australians pointed out over the last few days, no, it was the British, forgive me. The British pointed out over the last few days, they much prefer to arrest people and to put them in jail than do anything else. And that's a problem that we have to deal with in countries that respect the rule of law.
David Harris, that's where we leave it today. Thank you very, very much for chatting to us. And if you're fasting tomorrow, I wish you an easy and a meaningful fast.
Many, many thanks. And hopefully we'll be celebrating an English win over South Africa later today.
Pack her up, old chap.
Yeah. How to make yourself unpopular in the morning in South Africa, eh?
Yeah, have a great one. Take care, Baba.
Take care.
That's David Harris. He's the editor-in-chief of the Clarion Project. Go and check out their website. I've also, I have tweeted and also posted on on the Chai FM social media on Facebook, a very nice infographic that they've put together about this Australia terror attack.